Hi everybody, welcome to the Game Spoilers Podcast. It's been a while.
Yes.
My name is Jeremy Bradicich. In front of me, in my bionicle blanket, is June Williams.
Good afternoon.
And on my pillow, on my fucking couch, Gary, to my right.
Your fucking couch. What do you do here, Jeremy?
This is Kerry Palmer.
Hello!
We didn't do last month's podcast. There were scheduling issues, and we just didn't do it.
We all
have jobs now.
Oh, yeah. We Jeremy and I got hired for things, which is great. At the same group interview.
Yeah.
But we accidentally picked a very long game to play, and we tried to finish it, and we...
Why did nobody warn us?
Yeah, right? Why did no one tell us that Hollow Knight was a 30-hour game?
I mean, we had 2 months this time, and we still didn't get it done.
This is your fault, listeners. I did not do anything wrong.
That's right.
Anyway, if you want to listen to us talk about Hollow Knight, too bad.
Too bad.
We're talking about Florence today.
Maybe we can do a one-off at some point.
I might talk about Hollow Knight at another point. Because I really like that game.
Maybe you should write about it.
Maybe I should.
Where would you write about such a thing, Jeremy?
I don't know, probably my Tumblr. We have a website!
That's right!
We spoke about it last time!
Yes,
we did! It is minimap.com.au. This podcast can be found on that website.
You can also find Jeremy's latest article on No Man's Sky Next.
My only article on that
don't
website.
Don't tell them that!
Why?
It makes us look bad!
Because we look so great right now. Go read my article. It's about No Man's Sky.
It's actually quite nice.
It's called Perspective in the Universe. I like the title more than I like the article. Anyway, Florence is a game made by Mountains, a Melbourne studio. Kerry's laughing.
Sorry, I like that sentence. Made by Mountains.
Made by Mountains. The Earth has collided with itself to create this beautiful love story.
And published it to the App Store for $4.
So it's on iOS and Android. It is a fantastic game. It came out on Valentine's Day of 2018,
mm-hmm.
And Android, I think, 2 weeks later, or a couple weeks later?
No, yeah. It was more than that.
Mm. Right.
No more than a month or two.
It doesn't matter, because it's out now on both app stores. Mm. The lead designer of the game, Ken Wong, worked on Monument Valley.
Yeah. Lead designer or something like that?
He was lead designer, yeah.
Yes.
He has cool hair.
He does have cool hair.
Mm.
Always colours.
Mm. Yes, so...
Very game dev.
Yes.
Shook his hand once.
Write about it.
Yeah, it was when I was at the GX VIP party.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Write about it.
Pax was there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Did you cry?
No.
A little bit. Yes, so... Florence. So before we get to Florence, I want to give a quick rundown of why this episode is different, apart from it being late. It is a different format. We are trying a different format for the podcast, just to see what works. It might work, it might not. We figured that Florence is probably the best kind of game to try a new format, because it is a short, simple-ish game with some deep elements, but nothing that will make us talk for more than 2 hours at all.
Again?
Yes. So, this new format is going to be, we are going to each bring a few things to the conversation that we liked about the game, as opposed to going through each topic separately and in depth and spending too much time on it. So, yeah, let us know what you think about it, and let's jump right into the story. Kerry, would you like to?
I'm on the clock.
Yeah,
right.
You're on the clock now, Kerry.
Okay, so, Florence is a game about a young woman named Florence Yeo, who is in their mid-20s, working a desk job in Melbourne. Not that happy, just sort of going day to day. That's fine. She meets a young musician named Krish, who plays the cello very nice, and I like the music that he plays.
He plays good cello.
Good cello.
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 Good. Cello.
They have...
It's a good school of rock joke. Keep going.
They have a budding new romance that that flourishes, and you get to take them through the moments of their first kiss and when they move in together and when they cook food together and brush their teeth together and
fall out of love and break my fucking heart.
Yeah. I've still got half of the time here. Don't jump ahead, alright?
I wasn't jumping ahead. I was upset.
So then they start, you know, getting into routine, and it starts getting a bit, the colours get a bit greyer, and they stop interacting as much, and it gets a bit sadder, and then they start fighting a bit more, and it's a bit sad. And then eventually, I don't remember the reason why they break up, but they do. Krish moves out, and it's sad. But in that time of Florence and Krish's relationship, Florence has pushed Krish to follow his dreams and go to the Academy of Music. And he does that, and it's very difficult, but it looks like it's the right thing for him. And Krish, in turn, tells Florence to follow her dreams of being an artist. And so when she's grieving for this lost relationship, she rediscovers her love of art and finds new fulfillment within this passion and time.
Minutes, yeah.
I did it!
Yes, well done.
I didn't take 20 minutes.
You explained the story of Florence in 2 minutes.
I did it.
Yeah, so the new format.
No shit.
New format. June, what is something you specifically liked about the game Florence? Or something that you found interesting?
In the story? Or
in the game?
In general?
In general.
In general.
Gonna bring this back up again because the conversations were, I think, the standout of it all, to be honest. It's like one of the main mechanics of having a conversation with Krish. Do you have a conversation with her mum as well? Not that it's relevant.
You do, but not in the same puzzle way. Those are just, you get to pick like, no, I'm fine, or stop worrying about me.
Yeah.
No, I'm not dating anyone. So, no, I'm fine.
So with Krish, you have this conversation of putting puzzle pieces together, and it's more of a mechanic than a conversation, I guess.
Yeah.
It sort of interprets it well.
Yeah, like, it's not like an actual puzzle. It's more like a jigsaw.
Yeah. And it represents, how would you describe how it represents? I'm bad at this.
Oh, does it sort of, like, translate the feeling of having the conversation?
Yeah, and it gets easier as, you sort of fall in more in love, and then it gets harder to put the puzzle pieces together as you fall out of love, or when you have an argument or something like that.
And then it actually becomes impossible to put the puzzle pieces together.
They don't fit properly. The edges become more jagged, and the way that they've made that mechanic without using words but still just like to be able to create a story is one of the best parts about this game, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, that has a lot of that throughout the entire game, whereas, you know, there's no dialogue in this game at all except for
there's no
actual speaking dialogue.
There's,
I mean,
words under photos and like the words you pick when you're talking to your mum and stuff like that. So, like, there's words, but there's not actually, like, dialogue, you're right.
But the mechanics of this game tell the story well enough by themselves, and that's the point, I think.
Mm.
Yeah, like, you don't need to know what the exact conversation they're having. It's more about the feeling that you get by the difficulty of putting the conversation, like, putting your Florence's specific words together in response to Krish's gets easier and harder depending on, like, the mood of the conversation.
It really is just like a basic sort of like rundown of what a conversation is.
Yeah.
Like how words form in your head, right?
Mm.
You take them and you put them together and you say them out loud.
Yeah.
That's what the puzzle pieces are.
Yeah, so like when it gets easier, you have like at times less pieces, at times the pieces are already either pre-assembled or at least in the order you would put them in already.
Mm.
And it's such a clear way of describing someone's, like how comfortable it is to talk to someone like that.
Yeah.
When you're in that position.
Yeah. And like the easiest things to say were actually in the arguments, because that was when they would give you whole text bubbles and all you had to do was move it into the right spot.
Yeah.
And that was, it's interesting because, you know, in a fight, sometimes it's not about what you say, it's just about saying as much as you can.
Yeah.
and just being the one who is on top of the dialogue.
Yeah, and there was that one point in the argument where you can keep putting more speech bubbles in before Krish can reply, and you're just doing it as fast as you can.
Yeah, there's that like seesaw, trying to and like it's interesting because I was just thinking about that as we were talking about it. You're sort of encouraged to do that prior, like as the fight starts, you're not doing it at the same time, but Krish is responding really quickly. Like you see his puzzle pieces, and they're like. And it's like, oh, fuck you, I want to be that fast, you know? Like, and it really well primes you for being that competitive.
Yeah.
It's very interesting, yeah.
Was there any more thoughts on that, June? Like...
I don't think so, I think...
Right.
Covered that.
Kerry?
Mine's a really little one, in terms of, like, one of the things I liked the most. I found it very relatable, and that's for a few reasons. One, because it's a game set in Melbourne, which I loved. You know, I loved looking at the pinboard map. It's like,
by the way, we live in Melbourne.
Yeah,
we live in Melbourne. Krish's struggle as a musician, the sort of the day to day, trying to follow this pursuit that seemed to be really creative, but it becomes mundane, it becomes routine, it becomes really difficult. Like,
Kerry, you studied music, right?
Yeah, I did study music in the past, so I can really relate to that on a one-to-one. I may have dropped out, but that's neither here nor there. But I think one of the moments that really stood out to me was the moment that Florence first notices Krish, and that's when she's walking down the street on Twitter, and then her phone dies, and so she takes off the headphones. And before that moment, like, with the headphones on, the world's quiet, and then when she takes the headphones off, she starts to hear music, which I thought was a really nice...
She wasn't on Twitter, she was on Tinder.
There were likes and retweets.
Was it retweets? I thought it was a cross for, like, swiping no.
No, there were retweets.
I thought it was Facebook.
There's,
it's like liking.
There's hearts and, like, retweet circles.
Ah, I thought it was an X for... No. Right, okay. Let's just... agree that it was probably LinkedIn. Keep going.
There's a dog on one of the... Anyway.
I would hire that dog.
Yeah, right.
I would super like that dog.
So you start to hear the music, which is Krish down the road. And the way you move forward at that point is you tap on the yellow notes that are flying past. And like the more you do it, the louder the music becomes and the more notes appear that you tap on. And I actually found that really... enjoyable because I started like tapping in time, and then Florence starts like floating down the street towards it, which was weird, but it was cool.
It's like when you smell a really good pie and you're gonna float towards the window.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I do that all the time.
Yeah.
In cartoon land.
Yeah.
I don't know. There was something about that just really struck me about that moment. I really got into the flow of that just that tiny section.
Mm. Yeah.
That was my favorite moment. That was the standout moment to me.
Yeah.
What about you?
Me? Right, okay. So, my favourite... Well, one of my favourite sections of the game, I think, not because I enjoyed it, because it was extremely sad, but the section where... It's just a short little bit where there's a photo of Florence and Krish, and it's ripped up, and you're trying to put the photo... back together.
This hurts me.
I know. It was like it was probably the saddest part of the game. Yeah. Was there's a ripped up photo and you're trying to piece the photo back together of a like of a time when Florence and Krish were together, and you can't put the photo back together. Yeah. Like it simply doesn't get put back together.
Yeah. Just floats. The pieces float away.
Right? Yeah,
you're
yeah.
Trying to put them all back, but they keep floating away.
It's a like it's on the nose, but it's also extremely like relevant to like what was happening. Like it was such a, it was so sad. It was so sad.
I feel like there's so many of these moments. Like one of my favorite ones I want to talk about next is I won't say it, but like there's so many of these moments where it's so deeply relatable on a level that you never realize you can't put into words. I guess you've never realized. That other people feel, I guess obviously other people feel it too, but like never realized how I don't know relatable it is, right?
Yeah, totally.
And they really just hit it on the nose, and like towards the end of this game I'm sitting like on my couch bawling my eyes out because like it's like no, like yeah. I don't know, it's this game's good, everyone.
Yeah, it captures that magic of you know, first love, where it's everything is magical, and it is like you don't want to, you don't ever see it going to change, and you never want it to change because it's perfect.
Yeah.
And then it changes.
Yeah, yeah.
Without you noticing.
I think for me, more, they really hit the nail on the head of, like, falling out of love was more powerful than falling in love part of the story.
Mm-hmm.
And I think maybe that was the point of it.
Yeah, and even just getting in fights, like, similar to that photo-tearing moment, there's that one where you're trying to piece the photo together of them in bed. And for I don't know if anyone else did this, but I put the photo together and then I accidentally had it the wrong way around so that I had it so that they were facing each other, but there was
God, that's tragic.
There were no puzzle piece like joins on that side, so I had to put it on the other side, but then none of the puzzle pieces fit there either. And I was like, oh man, what?
Yeah.
And that, you know, that strikes me, because there's a point where when you're in a relationship, if you're sleeping in the same bed and you don't know what the other person's thinking, and it could be the worst thing in the world, or maybe they're just feeling as bad as you are, maybe things aren't going to go well the next day, or, you know, this is full of uncertainty and you don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, and it's, like, I think one of the ways this game captures that so well is, like, again, just not actually having any dialogue. Like, because any dialogue or written words when it comes to those sections, I feel like, it's like a horror movie, like that, you know, the scariest thing in a horror movie is not seeing the monster. And, like, because your imagination is always the most extreme version of whatever that is. And, like, in the case of this game, your imagination is always it's always like the purest form of whatever that section would be. So, like, you know, whatever they're saying when they're on their first date and it's getting easier to converse, you know, it's always probably the cutest shit. And when they're, you know, like, when they're not thinking about, like, when they don't know what each other are thinking, they, like, you automatically assume it's the worst.
Yeah.
And it's, I feel like having dialogue would mute that a bit. Like, it would definitely bring it down.
I feel like not having dialogue also allows the player to put their own relatable things into it. What I like about, I think, also why it's so powerful is because there is no dialogue and you're not just reading it on the screen, you're actually made to do it yourself, is, like, I don't know, it makes it even worse, I guess.
Stronger,
yeah.
It's not about, like, the script, this story. It's about the feelings.
Yeah.
And you make those things happen by all of these really tactile interactions with the game, which put you in those moments. I think that's the genius of this of this game.
Yeah. So Jun, you already briefly touched on what you were going to say.
Yeah, it's another sad one. what really, like, I think the bit that stood out most in this game for me was where you're walking next to Krish and it's in black and white, and nothing happened. No, you've got to touch the screen to keep up with him. And the only way you can get through that section is by letting him go, like, just not tapping the screen and letting him walk away. And, like, that in itself was the most distressing thing I've ever done in a video game. And so relatable, and so, I don't know, it's the way that they pinpointed that feeling in that tiny section of a game by just touching the screen, I don't know. Very good.
And I think that's a good point too, is that all of these moments are so short. It's a 30-minute game. Yeah. There's 20 chapters. None of these are more than a minute or two.
Yeah.
And, like, so many of them just hit home so effectively, so relatably.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. So, Gary.
The soundtrack in this game.
Yes.
Immaculate.
Yes.
The soundtrack of this game is so gorgeous, and it does the classic thing of theming the characters to an instrument. So obviously Krish has got this cello. He plays the cello, but also when he's around, like, the cello is a part of the soundtrack, and when it's gone, it's just the piano for Florence. It's so gorgeous, though, and the way the sound blends from scene to scene and from interaction to interaction, it's very similar to Pyre, where it would dip in and out, or the next phase would as you went forward, the track would not always seamlessly, but seamlessly enough fade into the next thing, so that it just kept going with you. It was hard, I can't pinpoint anything about the soundtrack.
Yeah.
It was just very powerful, very well done, beautiful, and I loved that it was so prominent a feature of the game as well.
You know a soundtrack's going to be good when they say at the start, please use headphones.
Yeah, it was such a...
I don't know about the Hellblade soundtrack.
Oh, God, no, that soundtrack's good, though.
It was such a good backdrop, but it was so... I don't want to reduce it to a backdrop. It was more like it was such a integral part of the entire experience, I think, which is what a good soundtrack does. It backs everything else up, but is still extremely important and still like
absolutely. You'd be missing it without it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It absolutely would be. I went online to see if the composer had done any other games, which I know, and I actually didn't recognize. Like the composer's done a few other games, but none that I actually knew off the top of my head, which was actually a little bit surprising, because I was thinking about the soundtrack and I was thinking it's probably someone I know because it's just that good,
right?
And it turns out it's just that good, and this person seems to be
not that good.
Yeah,
I hope they get recognition for that then, because
yes. Yeah, totally.
They deserve all of it.
Yes.
It was interesting watching the credits, actually, because Mountains is a team of... or it was. They've hired more people since they made this game, but...
four people,
it was
right?
Four people for this game. And then they had, like, as many people, like, contractors on the music side. They had, like, a music lead. They had the composer. They had music design in terms of, like, fading it in, getting it into the actual music and stuff like that. Into the actual game, I mean. Yeah, it was interesting. It was clearly a very important part of the creative process.
Yeah. Yes. I wrote down their name specifically to give him a shout out. Kevin Penkin. So good on you. You did a great job.
Thumbs up, Kevin.
Yes.
Good job, Kev. Good on ya. Sorry.
I was going to say like Keva or something, but that's
Kevin.
Not... Kev.
We're so sorry, Kevin.
Thank you, Kevin.
Love you, mate.
Good on you. On your bike.
On your bike?
Shake of the sauce bottle.
Fuck.
On your bike?
On your bike means get going.
Yeah, that's why I then said shake the sauce bottle. Because I realised...
Shake the sauce bottle.
I don't know.
It's the Australian version of Shake Your Tail Feather by Ray Charles.
What a song, right?
What a good song.
Let's talk about the Blues Brothers.
Let's talk about the Blues Brothers. So one of the parts I wanted to bring up was specifically how much of a love letter this game is to Melbourne as a city.
Yes.
I love Melbourne. I don't want to live.
Do you know it's not the most livable city in the world anymore?
I know, I'm shattered.
What is?
I don't remember.
I'll clickety clack.
It's probably somewhere in New Zealand, honestly.
You reckon?
Yeah. So a lot of the time, a lot of the early parts, specific, what is it?
Vienna.
Fuck Vienna.
Yes, bastards.
What have they got? UN?
Do they have a game about them? Don't think
probably.
So.
Probably.
No, I don't think so.
A lot of the dates at the beginning, specifically Melbourne places, there are Melbourne trains. Queen Victoria Market is where... Is that where their first date is?
The second.
Isn't that right. where they meet?
No.
Like, where do they meet?
He's just busking on some random street.
Right.
Yeah.
Even the idea of busking is a very... I mean, like, a lot of cities do it also, but, like, it is very well known as a Melbourne thing.
Melbourne's got a pretty strong music scene.
Yeah. And arts in general, Melbourne is pretty heavy into that stuff, so like being like a musician and Florence wanting to become an artist, it's very fitting. I loved the use of like even like the map of Melbourne when they go on a bike ride.
I remember doing that bit and like actually looking at like every bit. It's like, where's my house?
Yeah,
I did that too.
Yeah, like, and like, you know, recognizing Flinders Street and stuff, like seeing all of those locations done in such a loving way is extremely nice to see.
The thing that, one of the things that got me is, like, one of the things in the north section, sort of around Clifton Hill, the Polaroid that was in that section, the photo was for, it was for Krish's music friend, so it was like a gig. And I was like, there's a
That's
ton
so
of places
north,
out there.
Yeah.
I just love the use of Melbourne in this game, especially like, because, you know, like, you always play games like set in New York or, you know, like I was playing The Division not too long ago, and people are saying it's a very accurate representation of New York. And Watch Dogs 2 is a very accurate representation of San Francisco.
Yeah, I heard a lot about that because so much of games press is in San Francisco.
Yes.
And so everyone who got their hands on it was like, oh my god, and it feels like I'm heading down to the marina and blah 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 blah. And like, I was like,
that means nothing to me.
I know, exactly. And I was like, I was like, all right, I guess that's cool. Everyone keeps mentioning it. That's weird.
Yeah.
And then playing this, even though it's like 2 minutes of this entire game, I was like, oh yes, I love this.
Yeah, like,
give me more of this.
I think the, like, the one that hit me the first, the earliest, was like just the look of the trains, because I was looking like, these are just, this is us, like, this these are our trains.
They've got the handles on the ends of the seats.
I think that's what fucked me as well. It's like, it just makes it more fucking relatable.
I know.
It's like, can you not? You have to hit every fucking bone in my body.
And like with the Twitter app on the train, like, that's so game dev, you know, like, only living on Twitter until you know, start your job.
Yeah. Yeah, June. Next.
Next bit.
Next bit.
Kerry,
if you have one, feel free to jump in.
I do want to talk about the diversity.
Yep.
Because
yeah.
Aside from it being a straight story, which is fine, neither of these characters are white.
Yep.
Which is excellent, and I think the way it portrays their cultures in, there's a scene where when Krish is moving in, you see like some of his cooking stuff that you might not see in a Caucasian household, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, he's got a lot of like in
a lot of spices.
Yeah, spices
and
yeah.
different ways of cooking stuff, and so, same with Florence as well. Her Asian heritage, I guess.
Yeah, like they eat like one of their dates is Krish's first time eating sushi or something like that.
Yeah, and I think that's also another not a throwback, but like another. We'll use throwback is not the right word, but like to Melbourne as well as a
another
big
anchor.
Multi, yeah, another multi, like a big multicultural city, and it's not, you know, these love stories aren't just about white people, Australian white people, like, you know, I mean, obviously it's still Australian, but
yeah.
And also it doesn't matter, you know, it doesn't change anything.
No, it didn't change the story at all.
It's so lovely, regardless. It's just not the, it's no big deal, because it isn't, you know, that's perfect. It's great.
And correct me if I'm wrong, when Krish is moving in, there's like, is there like a little, there's like a...
There's a Ganesh statue.
Yeah, that's what it was,
yeah.
Which you can place when doing the moving in section of the game. I'm just going to go in front of you because I actually want to talk about that, and it fits right in, is the moving in little minigame and the moving out minigame, like,
oh,
such
God.
A, like...
I forgot about the moving out. Yeah,
like it's such a good way to mirror itself. Like when you're moving in, you have to decide, you know, where you want to place stuff. You know, do you want to replace, you know, Krish's thing with your thing, or replace your thing with Krish's thing, and stuff like that. And just a like, you know, there's not room for two toasters. Like the whole idea of that is such a relationship thing which you don't necessarily think about until it happens.
Yeah,
and then
like,
after it happens, you don't think about it. But it's such a just a clever thing to put in a game like this, because it's absolutely something you have to deal with.
And it's the thing, like, you don't realize how much you like your toaster.
Yeah,
until it's like, well, we can't have two toasters.
Yeah,
you dill pickle.
Yeah,
or like two Vegemite jars.
Yes,
that was the thing that got me. I was like, oh, I guess.
I mean,
we're not keeping this one then.
Yeah,
you're not gonna chuck it in the bin.
Went to storage.
Keep it for when you break up, inevitably. Yeah, and like the idea of moving out, and the, you know, slow, like, it was, I don't know if it was black and white, but it was at least it was black and white.
Around that time where it gets sadder, the game gets grayer.
Yeah,
it gets browner and grayer and more monotone.
Less yellow.
Yeah, slowly putting things, your things, in your box. To move out, you know, once again, the music complemented that scene extremely well. Mm-hmm. It was a very kind of stark, sad, like, oh yeah, this is it. Like, you know, that is the end, pretty
because
much.
Moving in, it is so, that those moments are so colourful because, like, Krisha's shoes are all, like, multicoloured and, like, the Tupperware he brings is multicoloured and the Ganesh statue and all of the LPs
and the records. And the records was a big thing.
Exactly, yeah. And then you pan, once you do all that, you pan over to them sitting on the couch in front of the window. And then when they're breaking up, everything's black and white. All of those shelves, the kitchen, it's all black and white. You can't tell which toaster is which because they're like grey and slightly other grey.
Yeah.
And then when it pans over, it's just Florence like in a ball on the couch and it's raining outside and it's only grey.
Mm.
I think that mechanic is like a very literal way of making space in your life for someone else.
Mm.
And then actively taking that away again. Like,
yeah.
Once again, it's just another fucking excellent way that mechanics have been used to display that kind of emotion that you probably wouldn't get through anything else.
Mm. And, like, I didn't do it because, I don't know, that's just not me. But in the same way that you could sort of manipulate items in that scene, could you have packed away some of Florence's things? Could you have taken Florence's stuff?
You mean Krisha's?
No, Florence's.
As in when you're packing up?
When you're moving out, because you could always move any of the things when you're moving in, mm-hmm. as you're putting some of Krisha's stuff in. So I'm just wondering whether you could have grabbed two toasters.
Wait, do you move out or does Krish move out?
Krish moves out.
So do you mean, can you take some of your own stuff off the wall and put it in storage? I don't think so. I think that was the stuff that was sort of stand.
Yeah.
Okay.
That would have been cool, though.
Mm. Gives the possibility for, I don't know, just that spite, I guess.
Mm.
Yeah.
If people felt so inclined.
Did you have another part that you wanted to bring up?
I think so. Covered a lot of the sound. Mm.
Can we talk about the art style?
Oh, yeah, no, that's it. That's the moment. The art is really incredible. And it's really simple.
Mm.
Something that I really like about it is just that it's got really clean, like, line work, like, borders around, like, make up the characters and whatever. But then all the animation is really sort of, like, messy and sketched, or, like, the colouring in is really sketchy.
Yeah.
And there's something about that art style that's so simple, but it's so clean. But it also feels really,
simple,
like, hand-drawn. What?
So keep going.
Simple and...
It's Kingdom Hearts, then keep going.
Oh.
We're swiftly moving on.
I just want to say on the podcast that I've never played Kingdom Hearts, and I will never play Kingdom Hearts.
I've played every Kingdom Hearts, and I will play every Kingdom Hearts until the day I die.
I am Kingdom Hearts agnostic, and I will anchor this group together so that we may sail forth into the future without further calamity.
At least we can all agree Simple and Clean is an extremely good
song.
It's
true.
Keep going, Gary. Moving on.
What was I saying? Oh, the art style.
Yes.
It's good.
Yes. Yeah, it's very... Like, I think one of the things that really stood out to me with the art style was the smiles, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Because a lot of the characters' positions are from the side, and the smile is always just a simple curve line up, like a normal person would draw a happy face.
Yeah.
But it was so... It was one of the happiest faces I've seen in, like, any video games, honestly. Like, they were
so... Sweet. It's so sweet.
It's so sweet, and it's so sincere.
Yeah.
And... going off that, a lot of the way that the characters are drawn when they're going through issues and trouble is different enough that it's extremely obvious that, like, you know, not everything is right.
Mm.
Including the use of color and the use of shading and just their simple faces, which are so easy to read.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And easy to like.
Yes.
Mm.
Yes.
It's also really cute that most of the scenes have them blinking like every like 10 or 15 seconds or so. Just really simple. Like, and it's like, oh, they're like maybe alive, but they're not, but it's cute.
June, did you have any more things to add?
I don't think so. We covered all of mine.
Yeah. All right, cool. Wow, we did that in 36 minutes.
Wow, record pace.
I mean, you know.
Slightly longer than the game plays.
Yeah, like Florence is a 35-ish minute game. It's well worth your time, well worth your $4.
Definitely.
Go
it's
buy this game.
If you're not in Australia.
Yeah.
Or more if you're somewhere else. It's good.
money. Yeah.
This is like everything I love about games.
Yeah,
in one game.
It's such a good example of show don't tell, because it's just like it's just right there for you to see. Mm-hmm. Like there's nothing hidden. It's just all there.
Yeah.
It's such like such a good example of what games can do. That aren't just your. This is a game that, like, the way I describe a good game is, like, would I want to show my mum this?
Right.
Yeah,
like,
right.
Like, is this a game that I want to show my mum to see, to just make her see that games aren't just, I don't know, Call of Duty. Like, and this is, like, the epitome of that. Like,
yeah.
This is what games are. This is games.
At the when you finish the game, when you get to the end of the credits, it says, you know, leave a review. And I was like, fuck yes. Which prompted me to look at the reviews, and one of them I saw was a 1-star review, which was like, what a waste of money, I can't believe they charged for this. It's basically
it's
just
not
a YouTube
game.
Video.
Fuck
yeah.
Off.
And I sat there thinking,
not
it's
true
like...
gamer.
I was like, okay, that speaks to a couple of things. One, the mobile market has been conditioned into feeling like... they are entitled to a certain amount of content for very little.
Yeah.
Which is a problem that the game industry is facing. So I'm glad Florence has done as well as it has. But secondly, while this game does feel like you're sort of just pressing forward in like different ways, it's not about getting from A to B.
Yeah.
It's not about that at all. It's about each moment and connecting with those moments with Florence and Krish together and what that feels like.
Yeah, especially when like A to B when starting this game, is probably what you're expecting was they would be together. And especially when whatever B would be the end of the game, they're not together.
Mm.
And it's not like a it's not like the happy story, it's about the journey along the way.
Absolutely.
And it just captures that so clearly, and a lot of like, you know, a lot of the time, mobile games are very geared towards time, and you know, like that's like mobile games are the largest microtransaction games, and so
having rewards,
like reoccurring games, like, you know, I'm sure you can think of a million games like that on the mobile app store
at least,
and there are not many games that are story-driven games like this on the App Store. And it's such a good fit for a phone, too.
This literally would not work on any other platform.
I mean, like, I think it could, but it's just, it's such a...
It's so tactile, though.
Yeah.
I don't think it would work on,
maybe
on computer.
Maybe Switch.
But only because you can touch the screen.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And if it didn't have that tactile feeling, then it wouldn't give the same emotion that it did.
I'd agree, yeah.
Like, especially a lot of the time, you're dealing with photos... or you're dealing with conversations and it's like talking to someone over like a text message. And like I feel like the phone, like being like holding that game in your hand definitely adds to the experience entirely. And yeah, like it's great, go buy it.
I just want to say one more thing that I totally forgot about. The way that this game is not just about like, you know, you fall in love, you break up, that's it. It's like you fall in love, you break up, you learn to get over it.
Yeah.
Like,
yes,
it's a game about overcoming that as well, and like how that, like you said at the start as well, not everything was the be-all and end-all at the end. Like, you know, they both helped each other get forward in their lives. It wasn't just like, you know, this thing that happened that was, you know, something that they regretted. It was like this, you know, this time that they spent together that meant something to both of them and still does mean something to them, that actively helped. And I think that was really important to me. It's like letting someone go, which I think was my favorite part, like I said, because it's so important to do that, and the way that they did that was excellent. And I'm glad that it wasn't just really sad when you break up the end of the game.
It's not like this is relationship is end goal and you have now failed end goal, game over, please leave a review,
because that's not life. Like,
no, it's not.
The way that, like, that wouldn't be as relatable either, and I think, I don't know.
10 points, Mountains.
You did good.
10 story points.
It's the old I get it.
Yes. Once again.
We're giving a rating?
10 out of 10.
Yeah,
yes, like, you know.
I guess I just did, yeah.
Like, I mean, I don't think there's anything, like, I think it's such a perfect length, too.
There's no it's lore in this game. Like,
yeah.
It's a masterpiece.
I literally cannot think of anything that is wrong with this game.
It doesn't drag, and not that I think if it was longer, it would drag, but I feel like if it was... Like, it didn't need to be longer. Like, no, it didn't outstay its welcome. It was clear. It was concise. It was simple. It was clean. It was the way...
If I knew that song right now, I would be singing it, but I don't,
yeah.
So
you
I
don't
won't.
Want to know, because it will be in your head for the rest of your life.
Oh, you kind
of
want to know it.
But we'll play it after this.
Yeah.
Time.
Okay.
Yeah, so thank you for listening to the shortest episode of Game Spoilers Podcast we've ever done. Might be the shortest one we ever do.
Still longer than the game.
still longer than the game.
What are we doing next month?
Next month, we are doing a game called Donut County by Ben Esposito.
Yes.
Well
done.
And published by Annapurna.
As
was Edith Finch.
Yes.
Yeah. What a publisher, right?
They do good. You're doing good, guys.
Yeah. Keep publishing those good games.
Keep Annapurning.
Donut County is available on PS4, iOS.
Yeah, coming to
Mac,
Android soon.
Mac and Windows.
Yeah,
and Xbox.
GOG.
Is there a GOG?
I mean, Mac and Windows.
And GOG.
Yeah, okay.
You play that on Mac and Windows.
Yeah.
Whatever, if you don't like DRM, it's there. And I've heard tales of it maybe coming to Switch, but probably not for a few months.
Yeah.
So if that interests you, maybe wait. It'll be there eventually. But
spoilers. It's a really good game. I played it last night.
Game spoilers.
Yeah.
Podcast.
Yes.
Speaking of Jeremy, where can they find this thing they've already found?
You can find the Game Spoilers podcast on many different podcasting services, including iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher.
Spotify.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. I always forget Spotify. I don't know why.
Would not swallow a fly.
What?
Don't know why I just swallowed a fly.
I thought you said swallow. I was like, hang on.
Oh my god. Please cut that.
No. you guys have all that stuff. Gamespoilers.com. And you can find everything else that we do at minimap.com.au. Recently I put up an article about No Man's Sky Next.
It's a very nice article. I like it.
Go read it. I had fun writing and playing that game. That game I am enjoying immensely. Yeah, so...
What's your Twitter?
My Twitter is at Obi-Wan Jez. Obi-Wan like the Star Wars character Jez like me.
Yeah.
Kerry, what is your Twitter?
KJPalmer_24. I said that wrong last time.
Did you?
I said it wrong, and I looked at my Twitter. I was like,
okay.
"Oh, damn it!
No,
there's an underscore in there."
No one's going to our Twitter.
I know.
Jude, what's your Twitter account?
Junes, JUN_ESS.
Bam.
And you can follow us on. You can also follow the Game Spoilers Twitter at Game Spoilers Pod. You can email us at gamespoilerspod@gmail.com. Follow Minimap on Twitter at minimapau. And yeah, that's pretty much it.
Great.
See you next month for Donut County.
Thanks for waiting.
Thank you for listening. Thank you for waiting.
Oh, and thank you to Brad for the music that we are using throughout this podcast.
Where can they find Brad? SoundCloud at Potato Bake or something like that, right?
Something like that.
Brattles?
No, it's not Brattles. Yeah. It's like Potato Bake. We'll put it in.
You can listen to the. You can listen to the music that we have in the link below, in the description. Yeah, thanks for listening.
Good job, everyone.
Bye, Mom.
Bye, Mom.